You're listening to the Erica M. McAfee Podcast, where we share stories of grief and loss due to miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and journeys of trying to conceive and infertility. Welcome to episode 6 of the Erica M. McAfee Podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook, download, and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Erica. In today's episode, Vivian Geico of the Empower Mama Foundation, based in Nairobi, Kenya, shares her suicide story after her pregnancy loss. This foundation is based on Christian values, offering emotional and social support for women and families that have undergone pregnancy and child loss. Empower Mama organization preaches suicide is not an option and assures women that there is life after loss. Their vision is to develop emotionally, psychologically, and socially empowered women who will in turn pay it forward by empowering others in order to curb the suicidal attempts in the Kenyan society as a result of child loss. Vivian also shares in this episode how Empower Mama Foundation is helping Kenyan women change the culture around child loss by sharing their stories and getting the support they need to prevent suicide. Well, thank you, Vivian, for being a part of the podcast.
Okay.
So I want you to go ahead and just tell me about your loss story and how it impacted you.
Oh, well, it's a long story.
Mm-hmm. Well, just give us the short version.
All right. That's okay. I had my first child back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was still in school, so I had to kind of defer for a whole year so that I can nurture the pregnancy and even just take care of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
The baby was very smooth throughout,
mm-hmm.
and I had medications, and during delivery, I delivered a healthy baby,
mm-hmm.
but that was 12 hours of labor, and now they took me in for a cesarean section because I couldn't give birth normally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the baby was healthy overall. But 2 weeks later, when I was going back for the wound checkup, apparently the baby was sick. And I hadn't realized, and that was the hardest moment of my life, because we never went back home.
Right.
We stayed hospital for 2 days with the doctors trying to diagnose, trying to treat her, and that was the most crushing moment in my life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So... it was actually on the April 18th, 2014,
mm-hmm.
when we were growing, and that day was actually Easter.
Oh.
It was a good... So for me, I had some little kind of faith, like by Sunday, she would have, resurrected and stuff, but it didn't happen, because even the burial was organized for me by the family members the next day, which was a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So on Sunday is when it dawned, the reality dawned on me, like Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so living with that reality and even the guilt, let me take you back a little bit. I was studying medical laboratory science in the School of Medicine, and for me not to notice that my child was sick was horrible. I mean, the guilt was too much. How could I not notice that my baby was sick? I blamed myself, even tried to blame the doctors. I blamed the nurses. So for me, my daughter's death traumatized me, I can say, for that period.
Right.
And I almost wanted out of this life.
Mm-hmm.
So... trying to answer all these questions and even trying to understand how to just to understand her death
mm-hmm.
me to the suicidal path.
Oh wow.
But every 18th of the month was just hard for me.
Right.
And I taking some pills to just, I wanted out of this life. So I tried taking some pills and they didn't work. I just woke up with a severe headache, a heavy head and some ringing in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I had thrown up, so I just cleaned up my mess and I didn't say a word to my husband. Mm-hmm. We were living together by then.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't know anything. So the next time, same thing happened and I survived.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted out of this life because I was not getting answers.
Right.
I remember one day I was just sitting in the house. I was having my lunch, just a quick meal. It was just rice and some potatoes and tomatoes. And I remember that one of the potato lodged in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Monday. It was August the 18th, and that was my turning point.
Wow.
Now, something out of my control was trying to kill me. I mean, this is not what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And being in that near-death experience, it really made me think about my life.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and even it now put me in the path of for me trying to identify my purpose. Because I remember I just choked the potato out and I was alone in the compound. My neighbors were not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was alone trying to, you know, scream for help. And the potato has just lodged in my throat and I can do nothing about it. But I managed to cough it out. And that is the moment that I decided I wanted to live. I mean, I couldn't just risk dying like that, you know. So for me, that was my turning point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to go back to school and even concentrate and do well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my daughter's death was a traumatic experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I can say after that experience, I have become a better person now.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story. I think that we all have those thoughts in the back of our mind, and some may act on it and some may not. But I think all moms who have lost, they all feel that same way, that they just want to take the place of their daughter or their son, that so they can have them back. So let's talk about your rainbow baby, your son. So let's talk about your pregnancy with him and then how you felt throughout that pregnancy and then actually having him.
Wow. My son was born actually almost 3 years later after my loss. And he is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Throughout the pregnancy, okay, I was happy. I was happy. I had some fear at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, pregnancy after loss comes with some kind of fear and anxiety, you know, and I could be sitting somewhere and thinking, oh my God, I might lose this baby any moment.
Right.
And, you know, even just a small pain in the tummy, maybe the baby is turning or something, and I'm thinking, wow, my body is wants to expel this baby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the fear was real, the anxiety was real, but when he was born and I saw him in my arms, wow, that was the most precious moment I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I even tried to put my daughter's face on him, and I was like, oh, he looks like his sister. And my husband was there to assure me that, you know, they are siblings, so they need to look alike, you know. So I was just, it's like I was trying to bring back the memory of my daughter, but now I thank God I was able to understand that this is another child.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his own life, and yeah, I'm just trying to enjoy my moments with him.
No.
Has ever happened to me. I'll send you some photos and you'll see.
Well, thank you. For you, the listeners of the Erica and McAfee podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 99, yes, free 30-day trial to give you opportunity to check out their service. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player. Personally, I recommend John Gray's new book, I Am Number 8, or Sarah Jakes Roberts' new book, Don't Settle for Safe. Both are great inspirational books to help keep you going and just to remind you that you are not alone on this journey and that God has not forsaken you. To download your free audiobook, go to www.audibletrial.com/Erica. That is www.audibletrial.com/ERICA for your free audiobook. So let's talk about what inspired you to start the Empower Mama organization.
Okay. Empower Mama Foundation was started in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in January 2016, one of my neighbors committed suicide over the loss of her firstborn twins, and they were boys. And for me, that experience took me back to my own experience back in 2014.
Right.
And I really dared to do something about it. I wondered to myself, if I had gone and just spoken to her, shared with her, maybe she would have thought about her life and she wouldn't have taken her life.
Mm.
So I decided to reach out. My neighbor passed on in January, and this thought was just there to reach out to these women, but it didn't actually actualize until May. So in May 2016 is when I started reaching out to other lost moms and just talking with them, and that feeling that they are not alone brought hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to talk to my two colleagues now, Mary and Wairimu, and yeah, they decided to come on board, and we would do visits at the homes, at the hospitals, just to give hope and encourage these lost moms that there is hope, that they don't have to think about all these the suicidal thoughts. They can do away with them by just, you know, being around a community who mm-hmm. understands them.
Right. So you all just started. So when you started Empower Mama, you just started kind of locally in Nairobi, and then you've expanded out into some other countries.
Yeah, we started locally in Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
The three of us are based in Nairobi, and we just started by visiting the neighbors, because most of the people vent on Facebook. Mm-hmm. In most of the groups that we are in, so we try to get in touch with them and know where they are and get in touch with them. So that's how we started, by just doing home visits and hospital visits. And now the number became large, so we now organize physical support groups where we meet as a group.
Okay.
And taken through the grief counseling sessions with world counselors. Yeah, so, and we also have women from other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Makuru, Mombasa. And for them, we normally do an online WhatsApp support group.
Okay.
where they connect with other lost moms and share. Because, I mean, sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing helps with the grief, and I mean, even it helps with bouncing back to life faster, so that mm-hmm. a person can continue being productive in the society like they were before.
Mm-hmm. So it's been very much so word of mouth, through Facebook, through social media, and then connecting through WhatsApp, which is awesome.
Yeah, this is Ivan.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's how it spread there. So what other services do you all provide the woman besides the support group? Do you have any other plans to add any additional service besides the support group and grief counseling?
Yes, we have other activities we perform. This year we marked the International Bereaved Mothers Day in May.
Mm-hmm.
It was a success. I remember the women there acknowledging that they are still mothers despite the loss.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a good day to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets full. We are also planning to hold the Wave of Lights on the October 15th.
Right, on Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day.
Yes. So we are planning to have an event that day, and we hope to even create awareness on just pregnancy and infant loss, because especially in Kenya, in Africa, pregnancy and infant loss, generally child loss is belittled. I mean, it's not seen as a legitimate loss, so people don't have that kind of support that they need. That's why we have so many moms ending up in alcohol addiction, suicide, depression, just because of the lack of support. Mm-hmm. We're trying to create awareness, especially on our social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We're even trying to approach the local televisions and the radio stations just to create awareness, especially during the month of October, which is also Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month,
mm-hmm.
aside from Breast Cancer Awareness Month as well.
Right.
Yeah, and we are currently having in our pipeline the workshops. The workshops seek to empower women in various aspects of life, relationships,
mm-hmm.
self-worth and self-care, just generally career after loss. I mean, just bouncing back to life. Yeah, so we just carry out the workshops and invite different speakers who then empower them and impact their life. Because in Kenya, most of our communities take having children as, I don't know, let me say it like this. Children are just treated like commodities. You lose this one, get another one, and life continues. And most of the women have ended up in depression just trying to get a child, and they cannot.
Mm.
So we, in our workshops, we try to empower them to discover their self-worth and even know that even a husband and a wife is a complete family unit. Mm. Children are just a gift from God, and we don't have to kill ourselves trying to have children.
Right.
Because some of them try have children after miscarriages, and they end up with, you know, even hysterectomy being done, and now they can't have children anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we just try to empower these moms to accept their loss, and they accept that they were legitimate children that they lost, and not just a commodity or just something to, you know, that can be replaced.
Right.
Yeah, so our workshops do that.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, I think the same goes for the women that are in the States. You know, they're the same way. You know, everyone needs to have some encouragement and have a support group to continue to push them to find who they are, you know, after the loss, you know, find out who they are and find out, you know, that and let them know, encourage them to know that God still has them. You know, God is still going to be good regardless of the situation. So, so how can we help and contribute to the Empower Mama organization? Where can we find you online, on Facebook, on social media?
On all our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we are, the name is just Empower Mama Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is Empower Mama. Anyone can send us a message, and mostly we are constrained in terms of resources, because we need to reach out to different women, sometimes even inviting guest speakers. Some of them, you know, need to be paid for their time, and we really can't get them. And, you know, trying to tell someone to pay to get bereavement support is kind of odd. Mm-hmm. And now we are trying to reach out to, as Empower Mama Foundation, we need support in terms of financial resources and expertise. But we've been able to get volunteers to work with us. We've been having doulas who give their expertise and knowledge, especially in pregnancy after loss. Mm-hmm. We've had psychologists and psychiatrists just coming in to talk to the women during the support group sessions. Mm-hmm. And we are gynecologists also who can just walk with these women even in their subsequent pregnancies.
Right. That's awesome. So you all, if you are in Nairobi or if you're in East Africa, they are expanding and they need your help. So visit empowermama.org, and then you can see all of her social media handles. They'll be in the show notes and in the description box. Well, I thank you, Vivian of Empower Mama, for sharing your story and calling me all the way from Nairobi, Kenya, to Virginia in the United States. I appreciate you for sharing your story and sharing your empowering organization. And I have a sister friend in Kenya. I need to come visit.
You should visit. Thank you for having me, Erica. Thank you for having me share in your podcast show today.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I pray that this show was inspirational and a blessing to you. The show notes and links for today's podcast can be found on ericamcafee.com/podcast episodes. Now it's time for you to tell your story. Visit ericamcafee.com for more information on how to be a part of the show. You can follow me on social at Erica M. McAfee everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I would love for you to join the community. Please rate and subscribe to the podcast. Keep the faith, and I'll talk to you soon.